Welcome everybody back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. Send in those questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Remember, also follow our buddies at 1893 Coalition, consisting of Intellectual Nonsense and the Enthusiast Project. But once again, this is the Freeform Radio. I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. Right next to me today is...
Hey, everybody. It's Noel.
And next to him...
And well-rested Andy.
All right. So we're back together. Had a little mix-up on our scheduling and did not record last week, but we're back. Finally, everybody in the same room. And it's a chance for us to give our thoughts as to what was going on in the week. But first, before we get into our weeks, we just want to... express our condolences to and our prayers to all the people being affected with the police shootings, and as well as the police being shot at in Dallas. Our thoughts and prayers go out to that situation. You know, I don't have a solution, man, but you know, it's unfortunate that that stuff has to happen and that we got to deal with that in our society.
Not yet. Not a good situation with all the recent shootings, and we're in the Chicagoland area. Every Monday when the weather's nice, we see all the shit that goes down, and now with the police shootings and so forth, it's just it's a horrible situation, and we'll see what happens, because it's it calmed down a little bit, but just now it's like back with vengeance, and it's hot around in the United States right now, and you kind of see stuff simmering now, and it's like it's ready to explode. So, and you're starting to see protests across this country, and I'm just ready. Like, I think riots are coming, because it's getting to that point where people are really, really upset at the situation, at the police, and I mean, that's all that's left. It's there hasn't been no real improvement. Everybody just stopped talking about it, and then it just came back with a vengeance.
It's getting really scary the way things are progressing in a negative way. And every single time an incident like this occurs, it seems like it's getting more and more violent, and it's hard to see where it's going to go in the future. I'm just hoping that somehow there can be peace being made, you know, by everybody. And our thoughts and prayers go out to them and hope for that.
No, sure, man. And just to quickly recap as to what happened, there was a shooting in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That was the first gentleman in front of like a convenience store. He got shot, and there was a video that came out of that. Then just a day or so or two after that, there was a shooting in Minnesota with a gentleman being pulled over, you know, for supposedly a busted taillight. Not all the facts are in yet on either one of these cases, so it's kind of hard to kind of jump the gun and kind of give like our full thoughts on it. Or at least in my opinion, it's not something that I like to do until I get all the facts. I mean, right now, if you just tell me like bullet points, then I can give you a rough idea of how I feel. But we really don't know the circumstances on all of them, so for now, our thoughts go out. And then last was the Dallas shooting, where the police officers were shot by a sniper. Some people are saying part of the black movement, the Black Matters or Black Life
Matters. Black Lives Matters or yeah. Black Panthers.
But I don't know if that's confirmed yet or not. Again, it's like all this misinformation, people just kind of jumping the gun. I think before we can give our full opinion and really know where we stand, we have to find out and do a little digging and find out what really happened and who are these people. So for now, our thoughts go out to those people, everybody that's affected. Hopefully the situation calms down a little bit, because we are, for the most part, all of us here are people of God, and we want peace. And even if we're not people of God, I know Noel, he strives for that. When I saw him pulling in today, I saw there was a bird in the driveway, and I saw him slow down to give the bird a chance to fly away.
I waited, yeah.
Yeah, I would have just gone there and get the hell out of the way.
He looked back at you like you're in my way.
I feel like, you know, I'm in your space. Like, you're chilling, you're trying to eat, do whatever you're doing. I'm over in a big-ass truck, you know. I have to be patient, you know.
Yeah. So, again, thoughts and prayers. Hopefully that situation gets better before it gets any worse. But jumping into our weeks, Noel, you made mention that you had very little sleep, and a little bit maybe was because of the UFC. You got some highlights from our 200 coverage here. You're our sports announcer.
I'll do my best, at least. So the UFC had three major events this past weekend. And so it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday being more of a Fight Pass show, which is on their website on UFC.tv. And if you sign up for Fight Pass, they have different subscriptions. You can get to see this on there. The main event was a championship match. It was Eddie Alvarez versus Rafael Dos Anjos. And it was an intense battle. I don't really want to spoil it. I don't know if I should. But it was an intense battle. Ended very quickly. So it was definitely TKO. Not going to say who won. You got to check that out or look up the results. I will let you know the other one that I wanted to see was on Friday. And that was the main event with, it was a tough finale. Tough is a show that UFC has where they train people and they also have a competition between different fighters at the end of which there's a finale and the fighters get to fight for a contract within the UFC. The finale was great. A lot of interesting matchups, some interesting results, but the main event was the championship between, it was Joanna Jędrzejczyk, he's a Polish champion, women's strawweight, versus Claudia Gadelha.
And, cool, man. To interrupt you really quick, This isn't Tough Enough, right? Tough Enough is the WWE one where they had like
the Ultimate Fighter,
right?
So, but it's not. Is it Ultimate Fighter as well, or is it a new name called Tough, or what is it?
No, the Ultimate Fighter, the acronym being Tough.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets confused sometimes.
Okay, I get it now. Yeah. All right, the Ultimate Fighter. All right.
So they call it Tough, and yeah, so there was a finale, and the championship was between them two, and that one I was looking forward to for a while because it was a heated fucking rivalry, man. They both hate each other with a passion. They don't respect each other as people, but as fighters, they do respect each other. Hard-fought battle by both of them at the end. The person I wanted to win ended up winning. I even posted some on Facebook about it. That's how much I was looking forward to this fight. And the next day after that, Saturday, was the UFC 200, big event. A lot of stuff went down. Unfortunately, one of the fights that was I was really looking forward to, John Jones versus Daniel Cormier, unfortunately had to be scrapped. John Jones, I don't know if anybody knows, but he actually got caught for two banned substances, and in both of his samples for drug testing, they both got caught. So he's looking at probably 2 or more year suspension by USADA, the anti-doping agency in the United States. And it's unfortunate.
But that's not his first one, right? That's like his second one?
He's had his share of issues, but this is the first time under USADA's banner. So before it was just the Nevada Athletic Commission.
The Nevada one?
Yeah, he's gotten caught for cocaine and stuff like that. And it's really unfortunate because he said he was going to turn everything around. He got involved in that legal dispute, or not dispute, in that legal matter with the accident he got in, and he just ended up running off. He's been in the news.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But the thing I read really quickly on it was that the drug test does not test like casual or like casual drugs, they call it, I guess. Like coke, weed, stuff like that. It tests more for performance enhancement drugs.
That's the way it should be. Now, not to say that I condone the use of, like, drugs and stuff like that.
Recreational, they said. Yeah, recreational drugs.
But, for example, Nick Diaz, he fought Anderson Silva, and this was maybe about a year ago around January. And when they fought, it was a good fight. At the end of it, they got, you know, the post-drug, the post-fight drug test. Anderson Silva got caught with some metabolites of a steroid, which they've attributed to many different things. Ultimately, I think it was because he was still healing from his leg. He had pain, and he wanted it to heal quicker so he could fight. For Nick Diaz, he got caught with marijuana in his system, and they were looking at a 5-year ban for him for marijuana, which is not an enhancing drug for performance. So it was really weird, but somehow John Jones, when he got caught with cocaine, got let off with like a slap on the wrist. Anyway, they do charge for even drugs, so it's kind of weird. It's one of those weird situations. It should just be performance enhancing drugs, but that is what John Jones got caught with this time. Two different ones.
Just because Diaz, I think the Diaz, the 5-year was it's more political, and he has a big mouth, and right. He pissed off a lot of people. And John Jones is I don't want to say he's a bigger draw, but he, at one time he had, he was a big deal, and then after all his crap, he kind of fell down.
Well, I think with the Diaz too, it was multiple offenses, and right. where, you know, I guess Jones now as well, now he's multiple, and that's why maybe they're talking about a 2-year suspension. But yeah, the Diaz, they were in trouble. Like every fight, they were getting popped for smoking weed or whatever, because they're big potheads. They're advocates about marijuana and its, you know, its yeah. benefits and stuff.
Yeah, and not to criticize them for using marijuana, because they live very healthy lives. They run marathons, triathlons. His brother Nate Diaz is vegan. He has a certain, or vegetarian, something like that. And he has a certain lifestyle that they try to maintain health. They do say that they love marijuana. They're not going to give it up no matter what. And when they fight and they train and afterwards, they like to have a little, you know, little smoke session. So to each their own. Everybody has their own opinion. But it sucks that John Jones was, you know, had to get taken off the card. Ultimately, he was replaced by Anderson Silva. So it's a kind of weird turn of events. I'm looking forward to seeing him, the, both of them progress. It was not a title fight anymore, unfortunately, for the light heavyweight title. But Brock Lesnar was also there to kind of, you know, make up for the slack that, you know, they lost that fight. Brock Lesnar was fighting Mark Hunt, and that's going to be a really good fight. For people that don't know, I don't want to spoil it. Misha Tate's defending her belt against Amanda Nunes. And there's a lot of other good fights lined up. This is a big event because it's the 200 UFC. And it's funny because Brock Lesnar was at UFC 100.
Yeah, he was the main event.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see him come back for 200. He looks like a beast. He's 100% healthy. He doesn't have diverticulitis anymore. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping he'll stay in the UFC maybe in the future, depending on what happens with the WWE.
No, cool, man. No, it's exciting. And I know you don't want to divulge winners, even though by the time of this recording, we already know who won. But yeah, let's give these people a little chance to catch it on reruns or even check it out. And then get some good fights going, man, because I heard there were good fights.
Oh, yeah. It's, I don't know. The fight I wanted to see was not the Lesnar Mirror one or whatever. The John Jones one, and that one actually caught my eye when I first heard about it. But the UFC 200 went through so many effing changes, man. Like, yeah. Did McGregor fight end up fighting in that one, or they pushed it out again?
I think it's like 202 or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I believe he was going to fight in 200, but he ended up having some kind of media obligation issues, and so they
hurt him on 202. It was money, man, and I they got upset by Lesnar made more money than he did in that pay-per-view.
Yeah, probably. Speaking of money, man, you made mention that your progress on this job hunt is looking more promising, or at least it's got some updates. Where are you up to with that?
Oh yeah, man, so happy now. It's been somewhat of a struggle because I kind of did a little social experiment on my own.
What?
All right, so you know how we're moving towards gender equality, right? And it's fine. I love that we're doing that. I love that everybody's
old school, man.
Well, to each their own. My dad was raised with an old school mentality. He has this certain way on how women should be, how men should be. Thankfully, my mom is kind of the one that gave me more of the equality. And so I feel the way she feels, and everybody should be treated equally, regardless of gender, regardless of race, religion, etc. And anyway, the job market, unfortunately, does not represent that as of yet. Not to say that they don't want to hire women, but it seems like in certain jobs that are more prevalent for women, they don't want to hire men for those. And so I was specifically looking for this kind of job where it's more administrative work and more data entry, things like that. And I studied business administration, so I was thinking, you know, I would have an easier time finding an administration job. Because of the degree I have, the experience I have as well, I've worked in similar roles like that where I had some of that those duties as well as other business end. And so I didn't want to do business. I didn't want to do sales. I really just wanted to do some administrative work where I could work in an office, air conditioned, and just relax and take my time with it and not have too much pressure. Because ultimately, like I said, I want to work for myself. This job is just to make money to start my business. And so I wanted to take it easy, and even though I did want a challenge, I felt like this would be the perfect challenge for me since it's something I haven't exactly focused on. And so I've been looking for administration work, and no one's really giving me calls back, right? Like, I'm applying to many different jobs, many, all different areas in Illinois, some farther than others. Like, I've been looking south. Normally, I look, like, more towards the west, Elk Grove Village, Schaumburg, etc. And I've actually been looking more south this time in the, like, Naperville, Aurora, etc.
So, real quick, do you feel the lack of response from the companies is because those jobs is geared towards women, or because and you're like the man or something? Like,
it feels that way. It feels that way because when I've applied for other positions, like, that are more, let's say, male dominated, at least in my experience, like, I've worked those jobs before and I've rarely seen women in them, like warehouse positions and sales positions. I got a lot of calls back for those, but the problem is I didn't really want to do that again. I didn't want to do those jobs. And I do need money, but at the same time, I want to make sure that what I'm doing every day is something
that...
Oh,
you're one of those motherfuckers, huh?
Well, I think it holds true still. Like, if you need a warehouse worker, you're more likely going to call some male workers than women.
With that statement, man.
Well, I think it's the truth. I mean, what do you want me to do if that's the way it is?
Not the way it should be.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you how it is.
Yeah.
And the same way that Noel's describing that administrative work is more geared or more looked at as a woman's position, not to say that that's how it should be, but that's how it is. I mean, most companies that I've worked for, everybody in the office doing data entry, paperwork, stuff like that, were women. Yeah, on occasion you did have a male go through the floor every now and then, but the majority were females. And so I could understand how it'd be difficult to get your foot in there.
The same thing goes for other positions. Now, I don't know about every position, but in the dentist, when I went last time, actually all the times I've gone, all the hygienists were predominantly women. Not to say that there aren't men that are hygienists, but it just, that's the way it is sometimes, that there's easier roles for them to get into, nursing, things like that.
Well, real quick, the hygienist stuff.
Yeah.
Those people don't make, like, little to no money.
It's unfortunate.
And
yeah.
And most of them are women. I've knew somebody that went into that, and a lot of the dentists, they want to train you, or they want to give you, like, $20 per session. It's just, like, it's... And, like, that's why they're... and, like, you know, they have schools for all this stuff, and I heard it's like the worst, like, entry opening level, like, position, because them things, like, they pay, the doctors are like that, and the dentists are like, that's the cheapest position. They don't want to pay for that.
It's really unfortunate that these nurses and these hygienists don't get paid as much as the doctors and dentists do. They're over out there in the Hamptons, you know, living the lavish life while everybody else is slaving away. And it's unfortunate, but I mean, that is the way it is, and it should change, and I'm hoping it does. But as we're moving more towards this equality, I'm hoping that things will become better for everybody, both genders equally.
Let me ask you this, Noel. So how desperate would you have to be to, like, to work back at the warehouse or your typical, like, job in your field that you don't want to do no more?
I would have to be, like, living on the streets or something. Like, it would need to be a necessity. Thankfully, I have family that I can rely on, that they have my back, and so... I've been fortunate to have them there to help me in this time financially. But I already told them back, I'm like, one of these days I'm going to have some money. I'm going to just drop 20 grand in your face and bam. I'm sure it'll put a smile on your face. And then they said, yeah, you know, it's all good. So,
oh, cool. So things are looking more promising on the job front then?
Yeah. They have this this meeting. I would say it's going to definitely help me. And it's, you know, decent pay from what I've been making before in the job market. Definitely help not only pay the bills that I have to pay, but also be able to kind of enjoy some kind of outside life, you know, and then as well as start my business. So I'm going to have to manage my money very wisely. I don't want to be a cheapo, but until I get my riches going with the business, I'm going to just be really responsible on how I spend my money and what I choose to do outside.
Sweet, man. Sweet. Well, speaking about getting into a new groove as well. You made mention, Andy, that you're starting to hit up church again, man. You're becoming a nice Catholic choir boy again.
Yeah, it's so I've been going back to church, and I mean, it's the Catholic church. So, yeah, it's nice. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've gone to mass regularly, so it's not too bad. And I mean, I used to go to St. John Vianney over in North Lake a lot, but it's one of the reasons I stopped going because that the priests there were a little too hellfire and brimstone for me. Like, everything was damnation for a while there.
Oh, you don't want to get judged then, Andy?
Nah, man. Only God can judge me.
All right.
You ever seen those memes?
Yeah, sure.
Them girls? Like, yeah. So, but anyways, yeah. So that, I used to go there. If I wanted to go to church for a while, I would go there. But then I was just like, I was not feeling it at all. So.
I feel you on that, man.
I stopped going there. I just stopped going, but I never lost faith or anything like that after everything I've been through. But recently, I decided to go back, and people were recommending Barriamos, the church is in Stone Park.
Yeah, St. Charles.
St. Charles Barriamo.
Barromeros.
Barromero.
Yeah. Barromeros in Spanish, yeah.
And it's not bad. I mean, it's the services are good. The mass is good. It's they got a good parish there. The only thing is I've been going there the last couple weeks. I don't know if it's all Catholic, the archdiocese or what, but they're, like, broke. Like, they've been hitting up more than usual since I've been going. They're hitting up for, like, money hard, and I don't want to say I don't get it, but, like, it's weird because when we go to church as kids, they never hit you up this bad. And, I mean, it's a healthy parish. Every time I've gone, there's been a lot of people at Mass, so.
What I never understood is why the Pope doesn't help all these people. The Pope's living really nice. Why doesn't he give some money or spread
it
around?
Well, it's like the church is. It's a business, man. It's like you got your corporate, which is Rome, you know, there's your corporate headquarters. And it's spread out, like, with the franchisees at the archdiocese, like a Chicago, Rockford, New York. They run like that. That's like their Midwest, East, like their little division of the areas.
The branches?
Yeah, the branches, and they got to kick up, and it's like a hierarchy. And the community, I mean, the Catholic Church, I mean, they do a lot of stuff for the community. I never said they don't. They run a lot of, they have a lot of programs. They have schools. It's just, it's like anything. When times are tough, man, people can't give as much as they want to. And, like, you don't see too many Catholic schools no more. And I think one of the reasons is, one, it's money. And two, a lot of people are just, they don't have faith no more. It's different times now, and that's why you don't see too many of those Catholic schools around no more.
Well, I think the attendance, like you said, might be faith. But as for the money, I know that the churches, Catholic Church, I'm not a practicing Catholic, but Catholic churches, they do have a lot of programs, and they do help a lot of people. They help clothe, feed, provide services, daycare, stuff like that. They provide a lot for the community, and they're constantly on outreaches looking for new people to come to church and, you know, get closer to God. So, and I believe people are still giving the same amounts in tithings. I know when my dad was growing up with us, you throw $5 in the thing and you're like, oh man, I'm a big spender. I'm giving $5. And those same people nowadays are still giving $5.
Or less.
Yeah, or less, yeah.
Like, you see right. Their parents give them everybody $1. Like, yeah. I remember my dad giving me $1 in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, no, well, that's what I mean. You know, everybody would give $1 or $2. And, you know, that was somewhat acceptable back in the 80s. But now you're talking about, 30 years later, and you're still giving the same amount. How much has gone up in inflation? Can you still get the same amount for $1 then that you can now? So it's tough for these churches. They're still running the same programs. They're trying to help out as many people and reach out even more in these desperate needs where people need food and they need assistance for burials. A lot of people go to the church when a family member passes away, and you got to pay that $5,000-$10,000 burial thing.
You got to pay for the priest.
Yeah, and they go to the church for help, man, and the church, they pick up a little bit of the tab for the burial. So it's a big weight on the church. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not preaching that we should all go to Catholic churches. But I do know it's tough for them. And they do help a lot of people, and I'll give them that they try to help a lot. Can they get money from other places, like Noel mentioned? Yeah, maybe the Pope could kick down a little bit, you know, melt down some of those gold shrines and let's spread out that wealth a little bit to help these, you know, branches like Andy mentioned. But hey, man, that's how life is.
Yeah, they're business wise, I think they could run things better. But and I get it. Like when you go to your local church, you can see they have an impact on the community. Now the archdiocese and all that other stuff, I don't know what they're taking in or whatever. I don't know how the hierarchy really works, but I know one of the world's biggest banks is in Rome. It's like they have like their own bank, and they have a lot of money in there. I remember seeing a documentary about the Vatican, and like people don't know, like they have their own bank, they have their own checks. Like when they cut a check out, it's like it's their whole. They have their own system of banking, and so it's yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know, but I do kick in. That's another big issue is tithings. I know I don't read. What is it, like 10% you're supposed to kick in, or 5%, what the Bible says? I don't recall, but it's, I do see a lot of people don't give a lot of money. They toss in the basket. You figure it'd be more, but yeah, it's still $5, couple bucks here and there. You see, I see people put it in there. Like, I don't see no one putting change no more. I guess that's embarrassing.
Yeah, you can't just drop in 50 cents anymore.
No.
Yeah, every once in a while, my mom will give me a couple stories on how these priests live. She actually works for a church, and she'll tell me, you know, she kind of maintains like the church and like the residence area. So she'll give me stories on how the people live there, how the priests kind of just day to day. And they're very modest, man, very modest accommodations compared to other religions. Not that I have really, you know, been part of that religion, other religions like Judaism and the Protestant stuff like that. But it seems like they have a more upscale life, like comparisons.
Yeah, my mom mentioned that sometimes the air conditioner is off. And like a warm day today, can you imagine just strolling around the house, doing your thing? You know, you're getting your sermon ready, and man, it's hot as hell, you know, that, figuratively.
That's because you're sinning, man, all the sins you've done. But yeah, I mean, compared to if you start your own religion, well, not your own religion, if you're like, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. If you start your own church, Jesus pays, man. Because I seen some shows where these pastors, man, and they living good, and they got their own church. It's like if you get a nice congregation, man. They're like millionaires, dude, and they're spreading the word of God now. It's there's a new name for that type of pastor. I forgot, like Joel Osteen, and where like you want to accumulate wealth and things. Like there's a word for it. I know there's a big debate about that in Christianity, to want things and want material things and want money to be successful. Like growing up Catholic, you should be grateful for what God gives you. And those, I read some of those books, the Joel Osteen books, is like, if you want a big house, God wants you to have a big house because he wants you to be happy. And to me, when I first read that, like, man, this is like a complete 180 to me. Like this, like you should be grateful for what you have. This guy's saying, if you want more, God wants you to have more.
Well, and to be fair to Joel Osteen, he does tell you to be happy with what you have, but also that if you strive for something better, then go for it.
Yeah. No, yeah, but a lot of it is, yeah, there's that part of it, but a lot of it is what people take from that is material things and money. And yeah, some of it makes sense to me. Like, yeah, God wants me to be happy, so if I work towards it, he's gonna bless me with that. But I don't know, sometimes how I grew up Catholic, it's like, that's like, whoa, like you're being greedy, dude, slow it down.
No, yeah, I listened to Joel Osteen, and there's some things that like you mentioned, Andy, kind of get you like, whoa, man, this is totally different from what I've heard in the past. Yeah. But for the most part, when he preaches about, you know, being content, trying to be a better person, trying to strive to be a better Christian, those things I like those words of encouragement. And like you said, Andy, sometimes when he, you know, goes off the deep end about, you know, hey, you want to be an executive of a company, strive for it. Try to make that gazillion dollars and go for it, you know, and you got to help you get there. And if it's meant to be, he'll open the door for you.
Like,
so, yeah.
Like, I remember reading one section, like, he was walking, with him and his wife, and they walked by, like, this big house, and he goes, I want that big house. Like, that's, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to afford it. And he said that the whole purpose, like, not the purpose, but one of his reasons is, like, if I look at that house was put when I walked for me to look at, and that means God wants me to have that house. So I'm going to work to have that house, because once I get in there, like, it's like a blessing or something. And I'm just like, man, this is, like, weird. Like, I did not. I shouldn't say I didn't comprehend it. To me, it's just I couldn't, like, to me, he's being a little bit, like, greedy about that, like being selfish.
Well, it's different from what we've heard probably all our lives being Catholics prior and hearing that verbiage. So, yeah, it's definitely different. You're going to say something, Noel?
I heard a few things recently, some information given to me by a guy who's actually an Orthodox Christian. But he mentioned, because he studied religions and stuff like that, he mentioned that back in the day, the Catholics, the priests, were actually allowed to be married. And not only that, they were given land. And like the Catholic Church would give them land to live on once, you know, they retired or whatnot. The problem is that they realized at a certain point they were going to run out of land to give, and it was going to be pretty costly for them to do that, to allow them to marry and have families. And so that's when they pretty much enacted that a priest would not be allowed to be married, that they would have to be, you know, what is it called?
Celibate. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they wouldn't be allowed to marry. They wouldn't be given land, and they were going to work solely for the church. And it seems like it's kind of unfair, you know, based on how other churches are and how other churches operate. But like you said, it is like a corporation, so it makes sense from a business standpoint.
Man, it's up front. They're being up front with everybody, knows that. And now, remember a couple years ago, there was a big movement to let priests get married or have women priests. And the church, with this new pope, he's a little progressive. I mean, I can see that happening now. But back with the back then, I would never think that would happen. But with this pope right here, man, sometimes he says some stuff, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm hearing this stuff from this pope the way we grew up. And he's like real, real progressive, man. Like, about stuff, you know, about gays, and, like, he even talks about, like, UFOs, and he's a little out there, man.
No, for sure, man. Andy, you're going to have to meditate upon that and let us know your thoughts about the new pope. Maybe you can do that while you're on your little mini vacay on the dunes.
Like with the real quick, Noah, the pope, this guy says, if you're an atheist, that's cool, man. They get to still meet God.
That is cool, Andy.
You get to meet Jesus.
You know, Jesus forgives. That's what somebody keeps telling me. So, Andy.
The good news is Jesus forgives, man.
Yeah. You know, maybe he's half right. Maybe you meet Jesus, but Jesus won't be God anymore. It'll just be like everybody else, just another being that existed and another spirit that's out there.
There you go, Andy. Is that what you wanted, man?
Yeah. That's what I like, man. The controversy.
Well, tell us about this dunes trip that you're planning, man.
This dunes trip is my Hamptons. So, nice. You know, when I'm filthy rich, like how I've been told I'm filthy rich, this is what I do. But I'm actually kind of excited. I've never been out there. I've been seeing a lot of articles and YouTube videos on it. And, you know, I talked to some people from Indiana, and they're like, basically, man, that ain't shit, man. But I don't know. I want to go out there. It looks cool. There's trails. There's the beach. The town looks somewhat decent. Like, they have a lot of things to do in town. It's not that far of a drive. So, like, I want to take a picture from the other side of the beach. You can see, like, the Chicago skyline. And so I'm just hoping it's really nice weather. And I'm excited. I don't know. I'm probably end up doing a trail and then hanging out at the beach and then checking out some of the dunes. And as you keep telling me, Danny, some kid died there or something, got in a sinkhole.
Yeah, quicksand or something. Yeah, it was like 2-3 years ago.
One of the videos I did see, that there's a lot of little holes popping up in the beaches.
Yeah.
So they're like you know, be careful. And I'm like, man, I just want to stick my foot in there and see what happens.
Yeah, it actually happened a few years ago. I should have got the details on it. But, yeah, they have, from what I'm understanding, they have that whole section roped off, and they don't let anybody go right in there because it is dangerous. It's like an empty sinkhole that if you put pressure on it, you'll sink down to the bottom. Damn. And, yeah, a kid, he sunk to the bottom a few years ago, and I believe he survived, but it was like a traumatic event where he was stuck in there for like 10 hours or some like extraordinary amount of time.
You can't just throw like a tree vine like in the movies and just pull me out.
No, this isn't like Indiana Jones, so you just throw something and climb out.
Go get that baseball bat, pull out, pull me out, man.
Yeah, I guess not.
All the pressure of the sand on you probably
makes it hard. Yeah, so I know you had invited me and Alana to go as well, but as soon as Alana remembered the dunes, you know, kid falling in, he's just like, I don't feel comfortable taking
like
journey.
You were the first guy, then the other guy at work is like, man, kid sunk in the hole over there. Like, man, is that all you guys know from the dunes? Some kid fell in a sinkhole or quicksand, whatever the hell it is?
Yeah, man, that's a big thing, man, when you're like, all right, yeah, you can go to the Sears Tower, but you might fall out the window. If that's the only thing that you remember, well, shit, I'm not going to the Sears Tower. I might fall out of a window. So what
just
else
like,
do you want to think?
Do not lean over. Oh, shit.
What else do you want to think about, Andy? I mean, if there's a traumatic thing that happened in that establishment or whatever, you know, then, hey, that's what you're going
to
remember.
It's like if Noel's like, hey, I'm going to travel. I'm going to get on a plane and go to Florida. Hey, bro, man, I read yesterday a plane blew up. So just letting you know, bro, but it'll be cool.
I mean, I get it to an extent to be cautious, but not to avoid things, because then you're not going to go outside ever, because most accidents occur outside.
That's when the terrorists win, Danny.
That's when they win. Well, no, that's cool, man. That's cool you're going.
I'm excited. I'm not going to lie.
You doing the dune buggies?
Nah, I don't even know if they have that. I know they have a brewery up there. Like, I want to check that out. I want to hang out on the beach. I might do a trail. The video shows there's like a state park. It is not expensive, but it's like $14 to get in on the car.
Yeah,
from out of state.
Yeah, because they charge you to get into the beach.
Yeah.
That's the other big weird thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it's kind of gets packed, and then there's a whole section on the street where all these different beaches are. And I kind of know which one I want and make a day of it. So I've never been out there. I mean, something to see in the Midwest, like, besides the other place where we're going in a couple weeks, Star Rock, and then, the Midwest has a lot to offer. You know, I've been to Michigan, been Wisconsin, Minnesota, Missouri, been through all this place, so it may be a nice thing to add to my little checklist that I've seen.
Oh, cool, man. You're going to have to give us a little progress report on how it was.
Yeah, man. Joel Osteen says if you want dunes, you got dunes, man.
I know, man. I'm going to be over there. And I'd be like, oh, shit, my foot's stuck in the sinkhole. Help me. That's like, seriously, man, when you told me that, I'm like, why is he bringing this up? And I'm just like, watch something happen. Like, I fall in there or something. Oh, shit. Just and then they can't get me out.
Are you going to rope in a cinder block so you could just...
That's when I'm going to be cursing you out, Dan.
Are you going to yell out my name and be like,
Minchie Danny, man, why are you bringing this shit up now? Now I'm stuck here, yeah.
Hey, man, so you're going to get upset with me, who I try to forewarn you and tell you, hey, watch out. And I'm the first one that's going to get cursed off.
Ignorance is bliss, man. I don't want to know about that stuff. I just want to have a good time, man.
I guess. Well, maybe some of that ignorance rubbed off on me a few weeks ago, man. I was outside. I was taking the dog out, and my shorts that I had on, because I had just woken up, and I took the dog out early in the morning to go do his business, and my shorts didn't have pockets, so I had my cell phone in my hand, so I just laid it on top of the table, kind of walked around a little bit by the garden, you know, kind of just trying to hang out, went back inside. The dog didn't want to come inside, so I went inside, watched TV for a few minutes, and then I'm like, let me go let the dog in, let me grab my cell phone. So I reach over to the little stand that we have by the living room, and my phone's not there, and that's usually where I put it. And I'm like, oh, shit, where the hell did I leave my phone? Did it fall out of my, you know, my pockets? And I'm like, oh, I don't got pockets. Is it in the sofa? Then that's when I realized I forgot it outside. I go to open the door, and it had like a little downpour, you know, kind of like a morning shower. So it only rained for like, you know, 5 minutes or something. I go out there and my phone is dripping with the water because it had rained and I left my phone outside.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was with the screen up or with that or the other way around?
Yeah, it was the screen up.
Okay.
Yeah, the screen was up. I got a little protector on it, you know, but nothing waterproof by no means. So I let the dog in. I gave him a good kick because I thought it was his fault that my phone got wet.
Oh, poor dog.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I didn't kick the dog.
I beat him up.
It's like I just punched him. So we go back inside, and man, Alana got up and because I had woken up early in that morning and threw it into a bucket of rice. Because they say throw it into rice and it soaks up the water. And to be honest, it wasn't really that drenched. It wasn't like, you know, I picked it up and like, you know, 2 quarts of water fell out of it. You know, but there were rain droplets on top of it. So I was worried. It's my new iPhone that I got late last year. So I was like, holy shit, I just spent all this money on this iPhone and now I'm screwed. I might have to go buy another one or buy another phone. Maybe I can't afford another iPhone. But yeah, put it into the rice, dried up, and turned it on the next day because I left it off the whole day. I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to deal with not having a phone for a day, which was an ordeal, to say the least. You're just not used to not having a phone by you for everybody that has a smartphone out there. So, yeah, it was definitely weird, but turned it on, and everything was fine, man. It turned on, and there was no problems.
Did you get all my text messages that morning, man?
Actually, when I did turn it on,
like a billion of them.
Yeah, when I turned it on, I got a few text messages. I called Noel that morning because I'm like, hey, this and that. And he's like, yeah, I sent you a text message on that. And I'm like, I don't got my phone right now. So, yeah.
It was Noel was like, what the hell, man?
But, yeah, it survived. My phone survived. I don't know if it just didn't rain that much or my phone didn't soak up that much or maybe the rice thing does work, but... phone's working.
The iPhone has a good seal too, right? Like, so it's not going to let all the water in that easy.
Yeah, it's not 100% waterproof. Not like the Samsung, I think, 5.
You poured Cristal on it, like in that commercial? Is that
the
Samsung?
Yeah, that's the Samsung. Where Lil Wayne, or who is it?
I don't know, man. I'm out of it.
That guy that has the seizures, I think he was doing
it. Yeah, I think it was Lil Wayne.
Yeah, that guy, he
needs a fade.
Yeah, he did it because I think the Samsung Galaxy 5 or something, those are waterproof or it has a water seal. So it could be submerged, you know, by so many PSI or whatever. So, yeah, my phone survived, man. I didn't have to buy a new one. But something that I did have to buy new was a new refrigerator, man. My fridge crapped out a few days ago. I almost feel like I might have even talked about this already.
I think you did. So I'm just thinking about it right now.
Was I?
I think I remember you mentioning that you were going to buy one. I don't know if you ever actually told people you did get it.
Yeah. So I did buy a new one. My old one did crap out of me. And, you know, it was a long ordeal. It took a few weeks, you know, just trying to go the cheap way and try to fix it yourself. But no way around it. I had to get a new one. So I was kind of dreading that, but everything ended up working out. So, you know, yeah. Very, very grateful for that everything on that worked out. But before we get into the article, just wanted to mention, man.
Hey, real quick, man, does that fridge keep it cold or cold?
Does it keep it cold?
Or just cold?
To me, it feels like extraordinarily cold. When I open it up, it actually makes me cold just to stand there. Yeah.
Oh, so you stand right in front of it for air conditioning?
No, but when I go get something, I feel like a cold blast hit me in the face, and I'm like, holy shit, man, this thing's cold in here.
Did you set up the setting or your wife did?
I actually put it in the middle because it had like a low, medium, and high thing with a knob. And I put it in the middle thinking that, all right, I just want the average. I don't need it to be super cold. I don't need it to be on the warmer side. Just give me the average. Give me the middle. And to me, it does seem way too cold. So I might actually have to lower it down to the lower setting.
I just always wanted to know.
But yeah, the only other exciting thing that's been happening to me lately is that I just came back from a camping trip. Went up there for the 4th weekend. And man, it was a good trip, man. Went out on a Friday and came back Sunday late in the afternoon. And the family had a good time. Alana had a good time. Junior had a blast, from what I'm understanding. He ran around and played with all the little nephews and cousins, and the campsite was full, man. There was tons of people came out. Everybody was blasting music, eating food, and just shooting off fireworks. So, man, it was a great time. The weather was beautiful, man. It was like high 70s, low 80s one day, but man, it was great. Not a raindrop in the sky. It was a beautiful weekend, and I'm really glad that we had a chance to get out there.
They maintain the campgrounds pretty nice.
Yeah. I know you've been out there, and they mow the lawn and keep the grass short, knowing that people were going to be going out there 4th of July weekend.
Nice.
So, it was really nice, man. Got a little fishing in, not too much. Got a little bored with that. I'm not a huge fisherman, but Junior has been trying to get into it, so he was casting all weekend long. But, yeah, did a little fishing, did a little walking, but mostly just chilling, man. I just got into my little picnic chair or whatever you call that, the recliner one. And, man, just chilled, took a couple of naps, had a couple of beers and just relaxing, man. It was great. It was a great time.
No, yeah, the camping, we went up there for the day with you guys. It wasn't too bad. Yeah, the weather was great. Did some fishing, some drinking, good eating.
Yeah, for sure, man. I know my parents, they like to kind of overdo it with the food. So, man, we're eating, three times a day and, man, some huge amount of food and everything, too. You know, back when we used to go just the guys, it was just meat. We never ate, like, potatoes or anything other than just meat. But now my mom makes some salad. She cuts up some lettuce, tomatoes, and then she has frijoles. And we actually have breakfast with eggs and whatever, some ham. So, yeah, it was a real good time, man. I mean, the only parts that sucked was just getting there, setting up the tent, and leaving and breaking down the tent. That was probably the worst part.
No, that's true.
That's because you have a mansion, man.
Yeah, the tent is kind of big. I'm hoping to sell it this year because I don't want to put that thing up anymore.
You have a swinging door in that damn tent.
Yeah. It's got its own door so you could swing open and close. Yeah, it's got a zipper so you can zip it so it doesn't swing. But if you leave the zipper open, it's got like Velcro, so it'll stay shut, or you could Velcro it open, and then it's on a hinge, so it hinges open, and then you could jump in and out. It's actually a really good tent, man. To be honest, other than putting it up and bringing it down, it's a great tent. It's great size. Me and Alana Jr. fit in there with plenty of room. We fit. You can fit up to 3 air mattresses, but we keep 2 in there. We got a little chair in there. We got a little table in there, and man, it's a perfect size for a small family, or crunched up for maybe like 8 people. I think you could probably fit 8 people in there, kind of on the tighter side. But it's a big tent, man.
Danny invited us for dinner in that tent because he had the table and the chairs and everything.
Yeah, well, my great Poupon, Andy.
And he had an air conditioner. They had a fan in there. You guys have a fan in there.
We do have a fan in there. We got a fan. We got a fan and a night light in there so Junior doesn't get scared in the night. So, yeah, it's like
home away from home, man.
It's a little past roughing it, but, yeah, for sure.
Nah, that sounds good, dude. I got to go back camping soon. It's been a while, so... Yeah, man. Definitely getting me amped up for that.
No, it was a good time. We might go again in September. Usually that 3-day weekend, we try to go out there
Labor
as
Day.
Well. Yeah.
That's right.
But we'll see how the weather is. That weekend is more like, all right, everything's got to line up in the stars for us to go. But usually Memorial Day and 4th of July, those are usually the two big weekends that we go out there. So we'll see. If Labor Day weekend... If the weather looks nice and everything is lining up, we'll probably go out there again.
Yeah, hopefully, man.
But jumping into our articles for this week, man, funny thing, man, that I read. Some customer, man, he tipped the waitress, which is something that kind of sucks that you got to tip. But these waitresses don't make a lot of money.
Sucks that you got to tip? Is that what he said?
Yeah, well, to me, man, it's like, where do you draw the line, man? When do you give a tip? When do you not give a tip? The amounts. I guess it's just a part of society that you have to deal with.
I mean, I think it's good to tip, just not have it be mandatory. I know there's some places where it's mandatory, and in certain cities, if you don't pay that mandatory tip, you could actually be charged for theft. And some couple did get charged for theft.
Yeah. Well, that's my part. It shouldn't be mandatory. Like when I order pizza. If I'm ordering it online or over the phone and I tell them, hey, can I use my card? They're like, do you want us to put a tip on the card? Because you can't give the tip afterwards. We got to ring up the tip now. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to tip when I haven't even got my pizza yet? I don't know if it sucks, if the guy dropped it on the floor, if the guy comes promptly or he takes like 2 hours to bring me my pizza. It's like, how am I supposed to tip beforehand if I haven't even received my goods or the services that I'm trying to buy?
Yeah.
So that's what more what I mean to. Not that I want to shortchange these people, because a lot of them do not get paid well. They get less than minimum wage. And so the tipping is how they make their money. That's how they make their earnings.
It's based on performance to me. Like when I leave a tip, if they perform well, I tip well. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Well, supposedly this lady, that man, she must have been doing really good because she got a $1,088 tip.
Damn.
Wow. How much was the bill?
It was around, I think, $40, they said, or something like that. It was like a regular meal, like, you know, $50-$60 meal. Nothing extraordinary. It was a Thai restaurant in Edgewood, Colorado. And this guy, he was drunk. He was in there. He was partying it up. I don't know if he got drunk at the establishment or if he was drunk before he even got there. But, he gave a 1,000 and change tip. So the people were real ecstatic because at that restaurant, they actually split up the tips amongst everybody. They put it into a pot. And then at the end of the night, they're like, all right, this is how much we got. So everybody was ecstatic. They're like, holy shit, we're going to split up $1,000. But the waitress was kind of wary about it. You know, she was just like, damn, you know, is this really for real? And rightfully so, because the guy came back the next day and said, hey, man, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to tip $1,000.
Supposed to be
$10. Yeah. Yeah. So it sucks, man. It sucks that he came back. But I guess what happened is that he ended up tipping because he paid with check, which I don't know who pays with check anymore. But he paid with a check, and that's how much his balance was in his checkbook. So he wrote out a check for the balance on his checkbook, and that's how much he had in his account. So he emptied out his account to pay for this meal.
We got to give it to the guy. He has balls. At least he went back. I think I just would have avoided the check. Like, put stop payment on that.
That's a tricky situation, to say the least. He could definitely, I would say, just to kind of be fair about it, he could say, you know what, I made a mistake with 1,000, but I'll still give you like 100. So you lose some, but you don't lose everything.
Now, have you guys or any, have you ever been confronted or did not tip anybody and they came and said, like, was there a problem or from like the waitress or the waiter or anything like that?
At least for me, no. I got it, to be honest, maybe the 100 times I've gone out to eat, maybe once or twice I've had a situation where I've given a really, really shitty tip or not a tip at all. But for the most part, I feel for the workers. So even when shit goes wrong, I still give them, 10% tip or something like that. But if things go well, then, you know, I give my usual 15 or more, depending on how things were.
Yeah, I definitely always try to leave a tip. And It's tough because sometimes you get some bad food or it takes a while, whatever. But after seeing Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay, I see it's not always on the waitstaff's, you know, issue. It's sometimes the chef. Sometimes they have attitude, the management. There could be so many different issues that aside from the actual waitress that's taking your order. So I try not to blame them all the time. As long as they have a can-do attitude, a nice, you know, interaction with you, then it's
a good demeanor.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Andy? You stiffed anybody?
I've stiffed people before because the service sucked. I mean, I never stiffed people on the waiters on because of the food, but I stiffed them on like because the service sucked balls or something. But I've been through that. But every once in a while, when someone comes ask how's everything, I'll be like, eh, it's not good.
Oh yeah, you've admitted it, yeah. Like in front of them.
Yeah, I remember. Where were we? We went to Olive Garden about a month ago, and with Gracie, and she's listening to the podcast, and she goes, "Oh, don't take me to that Olive Garden where Danny went to."
Oh,
okay. So I'm like, okay. So we went to this other one, and we got there. Everything was fine. But when we're walking out, I paid, and we're walking out. There's an upset lady. And she's walking out, and the GM or the manager goes, how was everything? Was everything fine? And this lady just started shaking her head like, oh, man, you asked the wrong bitch. She basically said that everything was horrible. like, she started ripping her a new one. And I were, like, walking out, and she had, like, this tirade of, like, how everything, like, service was slow, food was cold, and nothing was done to correct it. It was expensive, blah, blah. I'm like, man, I think this lady's going to get a free dinner and some coupons or something. And we just walked out. I'm just thinking, like, damn. Like, why is she telling her now? Why wasn't she bitching earlier?
Yeah, before she ate her meal.
Yeah.
She probably listened to the other podcast where she's worried about getting spit in her food.
So, I mean, Olive Garden, you know, we know all what it is. It's a big corporate restaurant, big box, whatever. And, I mean, you expect a level of service every time you go there, depending to if you go to, like, a mom and pop. But, I don't know. Like, it's, I've stiffed people, but I usually don't complain. I just won't go back.
Yeah, you know, I'm the same way. I don't tend to complain too much. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she'll bring up to me, like, I can't believe this and I can't believe that. And I think that upsets her more is that I won't, like, go into the little tirade with her. I'll just be like, well, maybe this, and maybe the guy's dad just died and the guy's grieving and shit, man. He's out here working. He's like, you're always making excuses for these people. He's like, if the service sucks, the service sucks. And I'm just like, well, I'm just trying to be understanding, you know. People have shitty days. And, you know, you just got to be understanding, because when I have a shitty day at work, I want people to understand that I'm having a tough day. And I want people to be somewhat, you know, lenient on maybe my attitude, my demeanor, the look on my face, my lack of attention, whatever, you know. But, you know, not to say that I always get it, but I just want to be a little understanding that people are people. They're, you know, they're regular humans, yeah.
Yeah, they go through everything, and every day they have to work there, they have to put on this face like everything's perfect and it's all sunshine and roses, but they might be having a bad day, and it's tough.
Look at that, dealing with people that complain about everything. Oh, everything was terrible. You imagine listening to that shit every day?
Negativity.
When you go into your work and people tell you your performance and the shit that you did at work totally sucks, I mean, it's got to weigh down on you, man. So, you know, I worked in the service industry, and it's difficult for sure, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, but maybe they're angling for free food, man.
That too. There's people like that complain, even though the food might have been perfect, they complain to try to get something for free.
Real quick, there's a South Park episode on kind of deals with this, but more with like Yelp reviews, and like these people take themselves super serious. And so every time they go to a restaurant, they're like, yeah, I'm in reservations. I'm with Yelp. So they like bend over backwards for these people because they don't want them to write shit about them. And eventually, like, the whole town's like, I'm with Yelp. So these restaurants are like, they're like panicking because they're like being like super critical and they're complaining about everything. And then they're like, yeah, we got another Yelper out there. So what they're doing in the kitchen, they're like putting boogers. They're like putting, like, rubbing their food on their privates and stuff. Oh, it's freaking hilarious. And then they're like writing like these monster reviews. And like Cartman is like, I'm the exclusive Yelp reviewer. So like the whole town, they like start merging in the restaurants. Like they go to war and stuff.
Damn, I never seen that episode.
I saw it like a couple months ago. But yeah, it was basically tackling Yelp. Everybody goes on Yelp now, right? Because it's people bitching, basically. There's like these freaking long monster reviews. Like, oh, the freaking napkin wasn't folded right. The food was so-so. The server looked like it was having like a bad day. And there's people like, it was fucking awesome. Try the fucking cheese tots or something. And there's people like, yeah, this was all right. This was excellent. And like, you got to read all this crap to figure out how good this place is. Or you just see the stars. Because it's always like people who should one star. Bitch fucking put the wrong thing on my menu. They try to charge me. Like, okay, stuff like that happens, right? And there's people who like just long-winded reviews, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those people take themselves real serious, all those Yelpers.
You had me at cheese tots, man. That sounded pretty good. But speaking maybe of another difficult profession, these Uber drivers, man, I was reading this article, made mention that, man, they actually don't get paid as much as you would think. I know in a previous article, it made mention that they make $17 or an average of $17 an hour, which isn't that bad, man. $17 an hour. for maybe somebody that doesn't have a high school education. You know, he's a driver, he's got a clean license or whatever requirements there are for to be an Uber driver. But $17 an hour is not that bad. But actually, after this newer studies that have been coming out, Detroit, the average pay is $8.77. The average pay in Houston, $10.75. And in Denver, $13.17 an hour. Now, again, this is all after expenses, costs like gasoline, insurance,
maintenance
on the car, or just the depreciation of the car, which they estimate to be about 30% of the cost on your car is depreciation. So, man, this might not be a... Before, it used to be seen as, man, this is a good alternative to make some quick money, you know, a nice second job maybe for people who are looking for more income. But, man, for, you know, $13 an hour, $10 an hour, I don't know if it's worth it, especially in Detroit. Shit, $8.77, that's less than the minimum wage.
It's like everything. It started off as like some like side deal or just a way to make extra money, and then just people turn it into like, well, I'm going to work it till it's like I can't, you know, I just like I'm going to do this full time, which wasn't really intended to be. And people like you hear weird stories. I made all this freaking money in one night and blah, blah, blah. And then now it's like an industry into itself, because when I was looking for my truck, I saw at the dealerships, they have in quotes, like Uber cars, and like this car meets all the qualifications for Uber. It's low cost and all this crap. And they're like, they were pushing that end for people to come and look just for like, they didn't call it like an Uber car, but they had like their, like the Taurus or something. Like seen the Toyota and like the Camry. This would be an excellent Uber car.
Wow.
They were like highlighting all these points to it. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like,
I didn't know that. Wow, that's
like,
cool.
That's just like another market. Like pretty soon you might see a car just like for Uber with like low maintenance and like high this and that. And just, you know, because it's people that some people do that. That's their only income.
Yeah, you see a lot of like Prius, a lot of like gas saving cars usually doing Uber. But then you see some roomy cars, too, because I know they offer, like, limos, trucks. You could actually ask for, like, an SUV. There's a button on there to ask for, like, these upgraded size cars.
Even luxury, I heard, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've used Uber quite a few times. Maybe the other part about this, too, is that Uber is taking a large cut off the top, and so these drivers don't really make that much. Or maybe they're not charging enough. You know, they're trying to cut out taxi drivers, so maybe they're running so lean that there's just not enough money to pass along to the drivers. I don't know, man, but I feel bad, man. I actually thought they made, you know, half decent money, and it had me even thinking like, shit, maybe I should be an Uber driver. But man, for $8.77, I think I'll look for something else.
I mean, it can be. It just depends like how you do it. That's like everything. Like when these, it has the potential to make you a lot of money, but there's also, you got to work a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. I considered it myself for a while because I needed the money and all that, but it's not worth the risk. I kind of calculated all the expenses and everything ahead of time. And one of my jobs before, I used to use my car heavily, and I would get like $500 a month because of that. But Uber doesn't get any kind of deal like that, so I was like, it's not financially viable for me.
Oh, yeah, the wear and tear and all the miles, because half the time you're just driving around waiting for people to ping you and tell you, hey, come on over by me and pick me up. So it's not like you're just chilling at home, which I guess you could do as well, just hang out watching TV, and then as soon as you get a ping for somebody in your area, take off driving and go pick them up. But, yeah, I know a lot of these drivers, they just drive around, and, you know, they go from the airport back home or go like a set route. Where they know it's pretty hot and people tend to ping them a lot to get a ride. So, yeah, man, it's kind of sucks. I don't know what it is in the Chicagoland area. The article didn't really mention it. They mostly just did the studies in Detroit, Denver, and Houston. But yeah, man, hopefully I'd hate for them to start charging more, because, I mean, that is one of their good, you know.
Selling points.
Yeah, for sure, that they're less expensive than taxis, but shit.
Let's just start our own one, man.
Right. Yeah, what are we going to call it, man?
Uber, what's Uber, Lyft, right?
Yeah, Lyft was the other one. That's the one with the mustache, right?
Yeah.
What about Glide?
No, but like, deja de chingar. I'm on my way.
That sounds like a good one, man. We'll have to patent that website for sure.
Well, we're going to have to check out of here, but we're not going to go through Uber because we ain't making no money off of that. So we want to thank you all for listening. And remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Freeform Network. Don't forget to send in your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. We actually got a question in this past week. We are reviewing it, and we'll talk about it shortly. Don't forget to check out our friends at 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense Enthusiast Project. And congratulations, Eric, on your recent engagement. Hopefully it works out for you.
Yeah, and I'm then, sure it will.
I'm pretty sure it will.
He seems like a nice guy. Yeah. I only met him once. He seemed like a cool guy.
Don't forget to check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you'll see our links to all the apps we're a part of. The big ones, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Overcast, Spreaker,
SoundCloud.
We're on everything you can imagine. So check us out, hit us up, subscribe, and hit like buttons on everything. Again, Freeform Radio, this is
Daniel,
Noel,
and Andy got kind of tired now. So we want to thank you all for listening. You guys have a good week.
Dad.